Praise God. So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And indeed, it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by his spirit. And we have been in the book of Acts, and we're still in the book of Acts, and we are trying to link up the stories of all these witnesses. You know, at times someone has described the book of Acts as the Acts of the Apostles, but others have also called them the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Ideally, we see the action of both the apostles and the Holy Spirit working hand in hand to obey the command of Christ. And this is something that is very important that we must understand as believers, that there is nothing that we do that is from our own wisdom, that is of our own power, that is our own ability, but everything that we do comes from the enablement of God. You know, when we speak of grace, grace has ideally two components. Grace has the unmerited favor, the undeserving mercy that we receive from God. And when we say we are saved by grace, it is just that mercy of God. But also grace has the other component, which is the divine enablement of God. And this divine enablement means the divine power, God's power, giving it to us, either to strengthen us, either to help us to go through challenges or to teach us, you know, grace is a teacher, or even the grace to just perform signs and miracles and gifts, because all these are enablement. So grace is both an enabler and grace is also a sanctifier. So there's the grace that shows us, that chooses us and just finds us, God finds us, finds mercy in us and releases his mercy to us. And that is one aspect of God's grace. And then there's the aspect of grace that is his strength. Now, when we see the apostles and the scriptures, one of the things that we do is that the Bible records notable miracles that they did. And you know, at times it's possible to be drawn away and to think, oh, these guys must be so, so powerful, and yet forget that this power does not come from men, but it comes from God. And today we'll be able to see two miracles that Peter did, and this, we are in the book of Acts, and in Acts chapter 9, and we are able to see, because remember, we were looking at the story of Saul, and what we see is that eventually when Saul, you know, is converted, then the church has peace. And maybe we can start from Acts chapter 9, and then we will look, it goes back to Peter. And what we see, the book of Acts, actually, in a way, it has two main characters, and that is Peter, who is the founder of the church, who is the one who, you know, establishes the church and leads the church. And then we have the second person, who is Paul, or Saul, formerly called Saul, and now becomes Paul. Now, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, that then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Now, just to highlight this point, it is important to note that, and this, I think I was listening to someone who was saying that many Christians love Jesus, but they don't fear God. You know, they love Jesus. Oh, they know him. They love, you know, he came for them. He loves, he chases the one, you know, leaves the 99, but they don't fear God. But you see, the thing that made the disciples, that made the early church have, you know, have growth and multiplication, is their reverence for God, fear of the Lord, you know, fear of the Lord. And God, fear does not mean that we are afraid, but that we hallow him. We give him respect. There are things that we recognize that we cannot do because of who he is and because of his presence in us, and the things that adapts us to how we react or how we deal with people. Why? Because we fear God. The challenge that most people fall, those that feel they are strong, even though they do many miracles and signs, is a lack of fear of God. You know, when we become familiar with God, we're like, God is my buddy and all that. Yes, there's nothing wrong with him being our friend. But we should never forget that he is still a consuming fire. He is still the God who the Israelites felt that, no, we cannot come near this mountain, because as much as even an animal touches the mountain, it was to be killed. And this is still the same God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he has chosen to walk with us. He has chosen to live in us. He has chosen to empower us. And everything about us comes from him. Now, the Bible says that they walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied. That means the Holy Spirit comforted them. Remember, they had lost many of their loved ones. They were persecuted in the past. But this time, when Saul, the great persecutor, was converted, the Bible tells us that the church experienced peace. Now, verse 32, where we now get back to Peter, and we're going to see two miracles that Peter did. Now, the Bible says, Acts chapter 9, verse 32, "Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And his Peter said to him, 'Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed.' Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord." Now, you see, the thing about God is that he allowed the mighty miracles to be done by the apostles. One of the things that, remember, when they prayed for boldness, when they were threatened, they came and prayed, "God, God, stretch forth your hand and perform mighty signs and miracles in the name of the Lord Jesus." You know, and the Bible says, and the place where they were praying was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The disciples had prayed to God for the enablement to perform signs and miracles. And earlier on, Peter had already raised a man that was born lame from the mother's womb. And the Bible tells us that he was over 40 years old. And this was a man who was by the gate beautiful, but yet he did not have beautiful feet, that was told that, "Silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Now, you see, for you to perform miracles, not only have you been received the Holy Spirit, not only have you also been born again, but you have also tarried until you are endued with power from on high. And we spoke about that tarrying is that process where one stays in the Word, where one stays in prayer, where one stays in fasting until you receive that spiritual substance, which is faith. And that is why the Bible describes that those who work miracles were full of the Spirit and they were full of faith. Now, when someone is full of faith, then you are moved by God to know that whatever that you speak will come to pass, because faith that has come to you from God has to be spoken. You believe it as you have, you speak it as you believe it. So that which you have received, then you speak it. There is no faith that is silent. If God has ministered faith to you, then you declare it. You declare it. Why? Because this creation was built by words. God spoke. God spoke, and everything responds to sound, and sound has to come forth to declare. So just as our Father declared things, we also declare. But you don't just declare wishful thinking. You can't just say, now I'm going to be a car. I am a car. I am a car. No, it has to be something that has been ministered to you by the Spirit. That is what you declare. Now, for me, what I see in his healing of Aeneas, he had already known that he has the faith for broken bones or for lame men. And this is something that you have to understand. If God has done something through you in the past, it tells you that there is a realm that you have entered. There is a realm that you are able to do. That means that which has happened once, you have been given mastery over it. And that is why you'll hear preachers say, for me, I am sure I open either blind eyes, or I deal with deaf ears, or I deal with broken limbs. Why? Because the faith that has enabled them, that substance that was given in the first place that enabled them to do that first miracle, also has the same grace and continues to work with them. And that's why whenever they meet either the broken limbs or ears that are blocked, they have the courage, they have the faith, they know how it can be done. And you can see when he meets this man that has been lame, bedridden, this man has been paralyzed. And I can just think of, I mean, when you think of paralysis, ideally, we just think of stroke. You know, nowadays as practitioners, medical practitioners, or when someone gets a stroke, then we just imagine how long this person will take to recover and all that. But yet, there is a healing that comes from above and that goes beyond science. I know of one of our missionaries who has had stroke 3 times, but you cannot see it. Because the faith of the believer has made them to rise and stand again. And you can see this man, Aeneas, was paralyzed for 8 years. And Peter comes and refers, gives the glory to Jesus and says, Jesus the Christ heals you. And what is the end purpose of the miracle? That people believe and turn to Jesus. Now, that's what the Bible tells us. So all who dwell at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now, verse 36 tells us of the restoration of Dorcas. Now, the Bible says, at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. Now, this is something that we have to understand. There was a certain disciple. So what we see is that she did good works because she was a disciple. She did not do good works to make her saved. Now, this is an area of always contention that people can easily make mistakes in, that some people, and this is the challenge of religion. Religion tells us that it is our good works that will take us to heaven, that will make us saved. Rather, Christianity is that we are saved unto good works. That means that we do good works because we are saved. The Bible says, for we are saved by grace, not of works that any man should boast, because we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which he prepared in advance for us to do. That means God, when we become alive in Christ, he fashions us. He designs us for unique works. That means each of us have a unique work. What I find myself doing in the faith is unique to me. Yes, it might be similar to someone else. Someone else, yes, might have a teaching grace, but God has the ability to make uniqueness in each and every man that we are not the same. Yes, some people are called to preach to Gentiles. Others are called to preach to Jews. Others are called to preach to in the towns. Others have the gift of the villages. But you see, to each and every man, we shall be judged on the faithfulness of the specific assignments that we have been given. Now, the difference is, and the challenge is when we think that it is our works that make us saved. And this was the challenge of the Galatians. And that is why they were asked by Paul in Galatians chapter 3, O Galatians, O foolish Galatians, who bewitched you that you thought that you began in the spirit and now you think that you can be made perfect in the flesh? So this delicate balance of the works and the faith must be balanced. And that is why James is the one that does that balance. And he says us quickly, and he tells us, look here, you cannot say that you have faith and you have nothing to show of your works. And you also cannot say that you have works and you say that works is enough to take you to heaven. He says, if you're thinking that faith alone is enough, he says, look here, even the demons believe that there is one God. They believe in God and they shudder. Show me your faith and I will show you my works. And he says, faith without actions is dead. And so we see that this disciple, the Bible is clear to tell us that she was a disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas, was full of good works and charitable deeds. That means she used to give to the poor. She was full of it. That means there's something that God had worked in her, a generosity that was able to make her give and do good works to the poor. And one of the things that God is concerned about is the poor. God is concerned about the poor. God is concerned about widows. And God is concerned about orphans. And God is concerned about aliens and foreigners. Anyone that mistreats any of these people, God will deal with you. Because God is their defender, God is their father, God is their protector. If you mistreat the poor and orphans and widows, and if you mistreat aliens or foreigners, then you will answer to God. And anyone that takes care of these people always will have a special part with God. And that's where you'll find, you'll ask yourself, oh, this person, why is this person doing well? If you follow them financially, they don't live for themselves. They take care of people that are of God. Why? Because God is concerned about these people. Now, let us look at what happened to this disciple who is called Tabitha or Dorcas. Verse 37, the Bible says, but it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Now, what happens when someone dies? When someone dies, ideally, they place them in a room, in an upper room, as they await for burial. But you see, they were not waiting for burial. They had the faith that the apostle Peter will come and be able to raise this woman, raise this disciple. And you know, many things happen in the upper room. Remember, in the upper room is where they did the Lord's table. In the upper room is where they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Ideally, most of their time, they used to have an upper room, a room in the roof. And this is something, I mean, how their designs of their houses were, but this is ideally a place. I would think maybe this was even her prayer altar, her prayer closet, where she used to pray. Think of Elijah, when the woman said, why don't we make for this prophet, the Shunammite woman, why don't we make for him an upper room, a place where he can be resting and praying. Now, they placed the woman in the upper room and they sent for Peter. They asked him not to delay. Verse 39, the Bible says, then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made when she was with them. And you can see, and that's something that we speak about good works. You know, think of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, when he was told he was going to die, when he turned to the wall, he said, Lord, remember my works. Remember the things that I have done for you. And God sent the prophet back to him, and he was added 15 years. And that's why I keep asking, whenever that we, since we have been born again, who is it that can say that indeed I see I have received a blessing from you? Who is it that has been helped? Who is it that has been supported? Yes, I know there are those who want to take advantage of people. There are those who will just want to be lazy and not do anything and just assume that everything is their right. That is different. But you see, whenever you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, there are situations that will come before you that you cannot ignore. You cannot ignore. Why? Because there will be a tug in your heart, and that tug in your heart will be the leader leading of the Holy Spirit that you know that this is something that I need to do something about. And that sacrifice is what speaks volumes to God. And one of the things that you will learn about God, God responds to sacrifice. God responds to sacrifice. Why did he respond to Abel? Sacrifice. He took the best of his sheep, the best, and sacrificed them to the Lord. Whereas Cain just brought some. The Bible just says some of his produce, but Abel brought the best. So God responds to sacrifice, and this is something that you will see over and over again. And when they brought the tunics, they brought the garments, they brought the things that Dorcas had done, and that, I believe, moved the heart of Peter, and he knew that this is something that he can ask God for. Yes, he had not raised someone from the dead before, and that's why the Bible says, Acts verse 40, but Peter put them all out, and he knelt down to pray. Why was it necessary to put them all out? Because of unbelief. There are many times you'll find that whenever people, you know, like when a preacher wants to pray for someone, in fact, people stop praying and they start watching. And all they're waiting for is to laugh, you know, or to say that, oh, this is fake, or to do this. Why? Because there's unbelief. Peter put them all out. And this is something that also was the pattern of Jesus. He put them out. Remember when he was raising the little girl? He put them all out. And the Bible says, and all the widows stood by him, and Peter put them all out, and he knelt down and prayed. Now, for me, this tells me that it is very important that even when we are wanting to perform miracles and wonders and signs, it is important that we ask God. It is important that we receive the faith. Peter, at this point, knelt down. He prayed, and when he had received the substance, when he had received the go-ahead from God. Why? Because it's not everyone who is to be raised from the dead. Because you might raise someone from the dead. Yes, at this point, they are going to heaven. But if you raise them from the dead, they will die in sin. And they go to hell. And at times, God will be like, no. So if someone has died and you feel led in your heart to raise them from the dead, it is important that you ask God, is it in your plan that this person to be raised from the dead? Has this person, is it the work of God that the person is dead, or is it the work of the evil one? And then if you're clear that it's the work of the evil one, then you know that the reason that the Son of God was made manifest was to destroy the works of the devil. The Bible says, and then turning to the body, he said, Tabitha. He called the lady. He called her, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon Atana. What do we see? The end result of every miracle and wonder is not that you become the mighty, mighty, mighty man of God, but it is that people believe and turn to God. Signs and miracles are for unbelievers. They are for people to believe. And this is something that we keep saying. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above much more than we can ask of him, according to the power that works within us. It is a spirit that ministers to us, the spiritual substance, the faith. And when that substance is ministered to us, then we are supposed to act on it. We are supposed to release it, to speak on it. And God is able to perform, not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. If you take on the faith, God is able to do it. Rest in God. Depend on God. But more importantly, do not fear. Walk in righteousness. Walk in holiness. And the Bible says, and these signs, Mark 16, verse 17, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name, in my name, in my name. Everything is in the name of Jesus. I will stop here, and I pray that God will give us more insight into his word. people, you're welcome to any reflections as God blesses in your heart.
Thank you, Dr. Mauna. No additions from my side.
Okay, it is well. Thank you.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
A lot was running into my mind as we were having a Bible study. And the Bible says, come boldly at the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy, grace to help in time of need. For the apostles really understood the God they serve. They understood that grace was available in superabundancy for them to operate and accomplish the purpose that the Lord had upon their lives. And when we talk about faith, especially as we pray and we raise our faith, our trust in the Lord, that something will happen. Of course, the apostles understood that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And they knew that they will perform the miracles. Why? Because their faith was aligned to the increased knowledge of the Word of God. And they were operating under the power of the Spirit. So to them, fulfilling their purpose, it was easy because they understood and their faith was on in that dimension. And they trusted God that everything will work out because they knew the God they serve. And that's why Dr. Marion said, sometimes we know Jesus, but we don't know God. But if we understand the power and we operate in that understanding, we are able to do exceedingly and abundantly. Glory to God.
Amen. Oh, may we walk in the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Yeah, and indeed it's a beginning, and there is a journey there. There's a journey of faith, there's a journey of holiness, there's a journey of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Let us love God. Let us fear Him. Let us obey Him. And let our works truly demonstrate our faith. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessing of your word that indeed you have taught us. You have challenged us and you are walking with us, O God. Indeed, we look unto you. We look unto your Spirit to enable us, to strengthen us, that we can come to the throne of grace and receive mercy for our time of need. Indeed, this man that was paralyzed for 8 years and this woman that had just died, these were moments that needed the throne of mercy and the throne of grace. And indeed, I thank you that through your servants, grace was accessed, O God. And indeed, the paralyzed man was able to rise up and make their bed and get up. And indeed, even this, the body that had no faith, the body that was gone, was able to be raised to life, to hear. The Bible will say the dead will hear the voice of the Lord and rise. And indeed, you have said that you are the resurrection and the life that is in us as believers is the same resurrection and the life. And I pray for deadness to come back to life. I pray for those with dead limbs, dead hands, dead legs, dead organs, O God, dead bodies, O God, that dead bodies will come back to life in the name of Jesus, to the praise and honor of your holy name. Dead dreams, dead businesses, O God, anything that has an ear that is dead, may it come back to life today, O God. Dead marriages, O God, I pray for life. Let the Spirit of life, the life-giving Spirit, breathe life. Indeed, you say that the words that you speak, they are Spirit and life. And I pray this morning that we receive life for whatever situation We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Blessed day ahead.